This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion on this frigidly cold Monday. We are here in studio. We have Steve with us here in studio, and Malia joins us on the phone. Malia, welcome.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Mike.
Calling
yes.
from the tundra.
Yes, the frozen tundra of of northern Illinois. It is quite chilly out there, and I know that the topic for this week is going to be the understanding sort of what is happening with this volatility in the markets. I know that last week was a really crazy week, and you guys talk about how there's not, you shouldn't really look day to day with the fluctuations of the stock market. But after a couple of days of really bad stock market reports, is it time to start people just at least paying attention to it, or what?
Yeah, that's a good question, Mike. What we look to try and help people do is to become better educated as far as some of the dynamics of the market and the economy in general. And with that being the case, part of what we feel is important is trying to continue to help provide that knowledge and just let people know what some of the dynamics are out there. You know, one of the ones that you hear frequently about is GDP. Gross domestic product, what we call real GDP, is one of the main factors there. And that's really a definition where it takes a formula based on, for example, total income of all the people working in the United States and divides it by the number of people that are employed in a actually total population.
Mm-hmm. I remember this from like Economics 101.
Economics 101. You know, it's kind of like blow the dust off of that at times, especially with all this stuff going on. But the GDP is also, to a large extent, an indicator to kind of give you the financial health of the economy and the working population. You know, when we look at our GDP, for example, it's about $17 trillion. Just a little over 2% for 2015 from everything we've read to date. I mean, they're always scrubbing those numbers when they get all the final numbers in. We'll probably hear a little bit different number as we get further into 2016. But that represents roughly 24.5% of the world gross domestic product. Many times recently we've heard about, you know, how China is going to overtake the United States and be the new world power economically. And while at some point in the future, who knows, anything is possible, relatively speaking, in 2014, for example, in those types of dollars, China was about $10 trillion. And as I said, we were, much, much higher in the gross domestic product as a percentage, where we were at about 24.5% globally. China was about 15.5%.
Even though they have like five times the amount of people that we do.
Exactly, because again, that formula is based on the number of people that you have in the country. So it does have a factor in that. And, you know, many people have probably been hearing over the last year or so where China's had some issues going on economically themselves, where they're slowing down some. But they went from an extremely high, you know, virtually 15% growth rate down to maybe 6.5% or 7%. Still a much higher number than we are in the United States. We're right now projected to be about 2.8% for growth for 2016 from everything we've read to date. So it's a changing dynamic. The health of the economy and the country is still there. It is a slow plow horse, as you've heard. You know, it's chugging along. It's not, you know, setting records, but at the same time, we're still moving forward in the right direction.
Yeah, I've heard that before. The gross domestic product, the GDP, is almost like if you have a factory and produces something over a year of value, let's say cheese graters, it's the value of all those cheese graters. Well, gross domestic product is the value of everything in a nation, all goods and services, during a specific time period. And that's what you need to start with understanding if you're going to understand this volatility of the markets. We do want to mention, too, we are going to be taking calls if anyone has questions at 815-398-WROK, 815-398-9765. We're going to be asking our class quiz question of the week later, and a $25 gift card for Texas Roadhouse will go to the first person who answers that question correctly. Malia, I also know that unless you wanted to talk more about GDP, inflation is something people are concerned about as well.
Yes, that's another good point, Mike. That's one of the other indicators that we look for every month. And again, the reason we're pointing out these indicators today is simply because when we're hearing all the analysts tell us what we're supposed to understand, they're actually drawing their inferences from this monthly data. And so it gets a little confusing sometimes. Sometimes we're looking for everything to be explained when we see the markets doing what they do. But when it comes to inflation, that's definitely an indicator that the U.S. Department of Labor puts together every month. And within their statistics, they're looking at the Consumer Price Index. Another word for that is CPI. And they put that together, and that actually is the best indicator of inflation or no inflation indicator we have. So right now, most people understand that current inflation figures that are at all-time lows of less than 0.5%. But we want to understand, where does that data come from? And really, there's so many particulars that go into it. They actually sample several hundred goods and services across over 200 different categories. They look at food and beverages, everything from breakfast cereal, milk, coffee, chicken, wine, housing, rents, owner's rent, fuel, oil, apparel, transportation, and that's obviously the biggest area that really does affect the inflation figure or the CPI.
Does that include gas prices?
Absolutely. So obviously this particular sector, when we see the prices of barrels of oil at all-time lows, I think they're the lowest that we've seen since 2003. So when we see that coming down so significantly, that obviously impacts this consumer price index that we're talking about. So this really remains the best indicator of inflation, the CPI. And it's important people understand that the Federal Reserve actually looks at this key figure oftentimes when they're deciding if they should make a move in monetary policy. We finally did see the Fed do that in December, where they lowered it by 0.25%, or I should say raised it by 0.25%, but obviously they didn't move too fast on that. So I know some of our listeners are saying, well, I feel inflation. I go to the supermarket, and it doesn't seem like things are getting cheaper. But when you look at all the categories together, synthesized every single month, actually we are experiencing very, very little or no inflation overall.
Our older listeners might remember the late 70s where inflation was really bad, right? Prices would change at a short period of time, and then you hear the extreme versions of countries where it costs like $1 million to buy a gallon of milk or something in their currency. That's like hyperinflation that they talk about.
Yeah, we still see that across the world in different locations as political economies become more unstable. We see ridiculous prices for everyday things, even like toilet paper. Some countries actually, believe it or not, in South America have run out of toilet paper in extreme situations, even though the prices went through the roof.
Yeah, and it's hard to wrap your head around sometimes when people talk about inflation, like how on earth can that happen? But we do have a pretty stable system here in the United States with monetary policy, et cetera, that keeps inflation from getting crazy, I know. We're going to take a break on this Klaus Financial Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. This segment sponsored by Klaus Financial. When we come back, we're going to perhaps take your calls at 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK, and also discuss unemployment and current employment. We hear those numbers a lot on those reports. What do they mean, and how can Kloss Financial help you digest that information into planning for your retirement needs? We'll be right back on the Michael Kulich Show. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. This segment is sponsored by Kloss Financial. Before the break, we were speaking with Steve and Malia about gross domestic product and inflation. And Steve, you were making a point about gas prices and inflation.
Yes, Mike. The reference I was thinking of there is if you think just back not that many years ago with oil prices at over $100 a barrel, it was, you know, the prognosticators were suggesting over $5 a gallon for gas was going to be the new norm and kind of the floor. And look what's happened in the last few years now with oil at less than $20 a barrel, which it hasn't hit in a long time. And gasoline, to a large extent, is under $2 a gallon. So, you know, that's a reference of, as Malia pointed out, there's a lot of different components to the cost of living, CPI. And that's a situation where actually it's come down. For recipients of Social Security, they will see no increase in their benefits this year, as they all know, because of, again, a very low rate of inflation when you're looking at those government-type figures. So there are various areas that can increase in cost, like healthcare, food at times, or decrease in cost, like currently gasoline and, again, the Social Security benefits.
Malia, you mentioned the lack of increase in interest rates that the government has had for a while, but they only recently increased them by, I think, 0.5% or something. Is there anything that listeners should take from that they need to talk about?
Well, you know, I think it's really good information. What we've been seeing these last couple of weeks is what we would term as irrational markets. And so the important thing to do when we have situations like this, which come up quite frequently, if you really look at volatility over the last two decades, what we need to remember is the fundamentals. So fundamentally, the Fed will not increase, you know, interest rates unless they feel that there's enough indicators in the economy to suggest that there is some growth and some stability. So as everyone's looking irrationally at the markets and the markets are behaving irrationally, we need to really come back to, you know, ground zero and say, okay, but the fundamentals are there, and when we look at them when it comes to inflation is all-time low, which does not hurt the American consumer. Gas prices are an all-time low. That usually benefits about 80% of our country when it comes to lower gas prices. So these fundamental indicators are not a bad thing. The U.S. economy is not in horrible shape. And so we just try to remind our listeners, as we do our clients, that we really need to stay the course when it comes to our investing.
And if you're wondering how the Dow Industrial is doing today, it is not open because it
is
Martin Luther
King. Very good. That's why we're here with you, Mike.
Yes. I know. Some people might be worried, like, all right, because it did drop a ton on Friday, and people said, hey, how's it going to do it next week? Well, not open quite yet. So tomorrow will be the first indicator of how, you know, the phrase, the global hysteria, I see as one headline I hear there. People are sort of freaking out, but maybe over-exaggerating a little bit here with how important this might be. What about current employment or unemployment? We hear those figures every month. What's important to know about those?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. When you look at current employment, that's kind of a rolling number that you hear, like you said, frequently month to month from the government. Right now, on a national basis, the actual unemployment rate's at about 5%. In Illinois, it's a little bit more, about 5.7%. And in our neighbor, Wisconsin, it's a little over 4%. So that, again, is a indicator of the well-being of the economy and the labor force. Now, to some degree, we have probably some underemployment also involved, where there may be people working part-time that maybe worked full-time in the past. You also have many baby boomers that are actually retiring on a ongoing basis, larger number of people that might be just changing careers. So, but when you look at the solid government numbers currently, like I said, it's at 5% nationally. So that's really a pretty decent number. Now, the economy with that lower unemployment is not exactly in running on all eight cylinders, so to speak. It's probably 5 out of 8 if I were to take a stab at it. But it is at least moving forward. It's not going backwards.
Yes, and that's an important point to know, that slowly but surely we should be on the path to recovery. Our listeners who want to answer the Klaus Quiz question of the week, if you call 815-877-8440 with the correct answer to the Klaus Quiz question of the week, you can win a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Again, that number is 815-877-8440. And the question this week is, the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, is the best indicator of blank. Again, the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, is the best indicator of what? 815-877-8440. The first person to call that number with the correct answer gets a $25 gift card for Texas Roadhouse. So we covered a lot of different topics on the show today. What do you folks at Klaus Financial do with all this information about trends in the economy?
Malia?
Yeah, well, we try to sleep at night is kind of the main goal here. We take this information and we say, how can we best apply it and make sure that we are doing what we should be doing for our clients? So, you know, half the battle is always what type of investments suit your clients in the best way according to risk in their retirement, also what their actual goals are. And I would say the one thing that we've done over the years is we are very, very proactive versus reactive. So when these markets do what they do, it really is not, you know, of course it's concerning, but not concerning, if that makes sense. It's concerning in that we're definitely engaged, but we're not surprised. And what we do is typically look at different portfolios with our clients way before something like this even happens. And we've already put things into place so that when we do see irregularities, there's not a quick, oh, let's change this and let's change that. We've been proactive. We rebalance. We make sure our strategies overall are not too aggressive. And so for any listeners who are not able to sleep at night with their own portfolios, they probably need to address this with their financial advisor. They probably are taking on too much risk, especially if they're getting closer to their retirement years. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Absolutely. In fact, that's a good point, Malia, because we've actually been probably telling our clients for the last couple of years to expect a 10 to 20% market correction, which is on average occurring once every roughly 18 months. So we were actually long overdue for that adjustment. And this is part of the process and part of investing. If you're using that globally diversified strategy, as Malia pointed out, then it will have less of an impact. Many times it's more dealing with your emotions versus your actual goals or objectives unless they have changed.
Yeah, I can picture a lot of people who, if they have a decent amount of money in the stock market, see it drop precipitously over a couple of days and might want to panic and say, oh, I don't want to lose any more money. Hey,
exactly.
Financial advisor, take all my money out.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are probably there to say, calm down a little bit. Let's cool this teapot off here and talk a little bit.
Exactly. Turn down the flame a little bit.
Yeah.
Very, very true.
This has been the Klaus Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. If you want to find out more about some advice on what you might be able to do with your money, both investing and retirement, and I know in previous weeks we talked about how you might want to set things up for taxes this year. It is that time of the year where you're starting to get your ducks in a row for filing your taxes for 2015 and setting things up to be in a great tax position for 2016. Call Klaus Financial at 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. Malia, was there anything else you wanted to add about all these kind of big bird's eye view economic things we talked about, CPI and GDP and inflation and all that with how it relates to financial sanity before we say goodbye.
Yeah, well, I think the only other point, and we've kind of hit home with this, I think, is staying the course. You hear all these statistics come out. They're not made-up statistics in this case. They're real. But they should give people actually a good feeling that, you know, things are not all going downhill. And really, when you talk about exiting the market, you have to realize two decisions have to be made. The first question is, if you exit the market, when do you exit it and when do you jump back in? And that's the problem we see over history, is that people are kind of like deer in headlights. They jump out and they never know when to jump back in. So that we would really tell our listeners, do not do that. Stay the course, meet with your advisor, make sure your goals are attainable and that you can sleep through the night with those.
Steve and Malia, thanks so much for coming back on the Michael Coolidge Show. And Money in Motion, 877-8440 is the number to call for more information. We'll be right back.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.